in 1 Corinthians 11, 29. It says, "For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily, eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's Supper." First of all, that touches me so much, that song, many songs, when it has to do just talking about the goodness and love of God. Because there is no one so loving. No one, not even us as parents, could love the way Christ loves. No one. And when he's speaking to us about not discerning the Lord's body, he's saying, we are the body. We are the body, church. And we are to discern one another and know that we are just like Christ. And we have to watch what we say, what we speak, how we treat one another, what we say about one another, what we say to our children, our husbands, our wives. We have to be careful what we say. Our lives is not our own. We belong to Christ. So we have to say the same thing as Christ says, or we are going to reap the rewards of destruction. We're going to reap that. That's a law. God cannot change it. I don't care what. If you say something wrong, or you curse your child, or say something wrong to your wife or husband, or wife to the husband, let me tell you something. That word has already gone out. And you could get in prayer and say, "Lord, I didn't mean it." But that word went out. And that word is going to return back, just the way you send it. Because God says the power of the tongue, it's in our mouth. Not the devil. It's in our mouth. It's what we say. We are the only ones that have the power to change circumstances and situations. We don't change them. The world is the way it is, even in our own household, in our own family, in our own marriage, with our own children, because of what we say. Cut it out, church. Don't blame God for what's going on. Don't blame the president, the congressman. Don't blame them. God did not say they changed the world. He said we are the light of the world. We changed the world. We changed the world. The church. We're supposed to be the conquerors. We're supposed to be the head, not the tail. We're supposed to be the light. Not the darkness. Not walking in corruption and destruction. Not depression and oppression. We're supposed to be walking in the joy and the peace of the Lord. We act like, you know, we're not defeated, church. The only reason why we're defeated is because of what we say. Because God already made that law. You shall have what you say. And he cannot change it. So if he cannot change it, he already gave us the authority. We are the only ones that can change it. So it's up to us, church. It's up to us. I might seem kind of harsh, but the only reason why I'm saying it this way is because I get so upset that we allow the enemy, just the same way he deceived Eve, we allow him to do the same thing with us. We keep making the same excuses. "Oh, well, I didn't mean that. Oh, that's just the way I am. That's the way I was brought up." No. You are a new creation in Christ Jesus. Know who you are in Christ. Take the word of God and speak the word. No matter what you see, what you hear, speak the word of God. If you want change, if you want good change, because we could have either. We could have either, good or bad. It's what we say out of our mouth. And today, before this day ends, I'm going to declare the word of God over each and every one of us. And whatever curses have come upon us, spoken way back from family, way back from our parents, grandparents, great-grandparents, friends, neighbors, you know, words have been spoken of corruption and things that we say, oh, it's because of Satan, because we were all nation. No, it was words that were spoken. And we have to turn around and change those words that were spoken. You know what, how? We bless them that have cursed us. God said, bless them that curse you and persecute. So I bless everyone that said a curse word to me. I bless them. I send blessings to them. Because when I bless them, I'm in right standing with God all the way in His word. And so He's going to work for my good and my behalf. Because I have taken His word that says, bless them that curse you. Bless them. Bless them. We don't discern the Lord's Supper. We don't discern one another. And I'm in there too. But I'm learning and learning and learning. And I'm saying, Lord, no matter what I see, no matter what I see, if I don't see you walking right, I'm going to say what God says. Because you know what? When things are going good, we can speak good things. When we have the money and our kids are walking right, oh, my son is so good, my daughter is so good. When they do one little thing, oh, he's no good. Why we change? You're devil-minded. Say what God said. And you know what? When you say, my daughter and son are no good, the devil is in action. And he's going to make sure to make it look even worse so that you can continue to say what you see. But turn it around. Instead of saying no, say no. I don't care what I see. I don't care how my son or my daughter acts, my husband or my wife. They're blessed of the Lord. My children are good. They're walking in the ways of God. Speak the word of God. Same thing with our marriages. I'm going, oh, I'm not looking at my notes. I don't know, for some reason, sometimes God just, but I'll get back to my notes. But the same thing happens in our marriages. Husband is the head. But who's over him? Christ. Who's in him? Christ. Do we act like Christ to our wives? Do we respect them? Do we love them? We treat other women better than we treat our own wives. We speak to them better than we speak to our own wives. That should not be. That shall not be. Shame on you that you speak like that. God didn't put her with you. He said she's a help me to you. So appreciate that help me that she is. And say what God says about her. She is wonderfully, beautifully made. Same thing you wives with your husband. Don't complain. You know, when you complain, you turn everything around. It takes time to come back. Don't complain. Because when you complain, you remain in that situation. Don't complain about your husband. Say, my husband, one, he loves the Lord. That's my prayer. Not that he loves me. Because my husband can't love me unless he loves God first. Because he got to love me through the love of God. And that's love unconditional. So when he knows the love of God, and when that love is flowing through him, he knows how to love me. He'll love me unconditionally. So that's what we need. We need to take this word, like we've been saying, meditate. We got to take this word. We got to eat it. I love that what Sister Camille put on the bulletin. I say that every day. Because that's the way that word should be in our hearts, that we may not sin against Him. If that word is hitting in your heart, you will not sin against God. He has given us a new heart. I mean, God did it all. He gave us a new heart. He gave us a new language. And we keep going the same old way. We have to stop. We have to discern how you speak to your children. As men of the house, okay, we're the head. How do we speak to our children? Do we yell at them when we say something? No wonder why they don't respect us. No wonder why they're rebellious. Because you know what? We're supposed to speak to their spirit. If I speak to your spirit, and I believe my child is saved, and I speak to his spirit, I'm speaking to God's spirit. I have to be careful how I speak to God's spirit. If I knew that God's spirit was in my child, I won't speak to him the way we do. We scream and we yell and you're no good and you're this, get out of here and get out of my face. Where does that all come from? That's not God. Every time you're going to say something, remember who's inside of you. Remember who you are in Him. And that should not be coming out of our lips and out of our mouth. In 2 Peter 1, everybody should know this. It says, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to the strangers and scattered throughout. I'm going to go down to verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to His abundant mercy has begotten us again. I have the wrong verse. 1 minute. It's 2 Peter. I have 1 Peter. Simon Peter, a servant and apostle of Jesus Christ, to them that have obtained like precious faith with us, through the righteousness of God and our Savior Jesus Christ. Grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and Jesus our Lord, according as His divine power has given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness, through the knowledge of Him that has called us to glory and virtue, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these promises we might be partaker of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. He's given it unto us, precious promises. Precious promises. That we can be partakers of those promises. So how can we partake of those promises? Anybody knows how you could be a partaker of that, of His promises? Say it loud enough, sister. Meditating in the Word of God. Having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. I look at lust, desire. So we escape the corruption when we desire the Word of God more than anything else. That's what we have to desire, the Word of God more than anything else. That's the only way we can escape that corruption. The corruption that's going to be around us. We have already because we have Jesus. But those that are around us that come, we can escape that. When our kids are among unsaved, they escape that corruption. Desire to be like them or to talk like them. By changing, by speaking and being what the Word of God says, who they are. And besides this, given all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge temperance, and to temperance patience, and to patience, godliness, and to godliness, brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness, charity, I say love. For if these things be in you and abound, they make you that you shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But he that lacks these things is blind and cannot see afar off, and has forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. So you see why we keep going back? Because we have forgotten. We forget who we are. We forget who we are. Church, know who you are. Because when you know who you are, you won't forget. Know who you are. You are fearfully and wonderfully made. There is no one else like you. God has put in each and every one of us giftings and talents, creativity, ideas, inventions. You know, we look at the world, we look at people that are up there, and we try to be like them. We want to be like them. We want to have what they have. So we try to do it the same way. And we don't have to. All we have to do is get in the Word. Because He said, if you meditate, then you will have good success. You want good success? Get in the Word. Get in the Word, church. And let that Word get in you. When we pray, we must pray the Word of God. Jesus only prayed the Word. Because everything that exists in this natural world is because of words. In Genesis, Jesus saw. He saw in his image. He saw already what he wanted. So what he wanted, he spoke. Same thing with us. We are speaking spirits. And we speak according to God's word. Don't speak what you think or what you hear or what you want. If it's not according to God's word, don't speak that. Because once you speak it, you have it. But Jesus only spoke what he wanted. And when he spoke, it came into existence. He already saw it. And that's the same thing we have to do. We should be heavenly minded in the sense where, oh, when I die, I'm going to heaven. No, in the sense where I know what's in heaven. There's no sickness, no disease, no poverty, no weeping, no crying. Same way should be down here. So if we're looking to him, then if we look to him and speak what he says and look at it the way he sees and the way he's already made it, we bring it down here on earth. But if we don't, if we keep looking only what's here in the natural and keep speaking that, we're going to keep having the same thing over and over and over. It's not the enemy. We are speaking spirit. In John 6:63, he says, my words are spirit and they are life. Faith are words that have substance. You know, we wonder what faith is. What faith is? What is faith? This is faith, the Word of God. Because faith has to have substance. So when we speak it, we get substance from it. Right? You speak the Word, you're going to get what you say. So that's the substance, the things that we hope for. What is hope? You're expecting something. A lot of times we don't get it because we're not expecting it. We speak God's word, but we don't expect to see anything happen. We have to be like, I heard this minister say that when he was young, and some of us could relate to that. I know I could. I had an aunt that when she didn't see us all the time, and we used to live up on the top floor. You know, apartment homes in the city. And when she used to come to visit, she used to make a sound when she was coming up the steps. She used to go, doo-doo-doo. And when we heard that sound, we would run downstairs. I mean, we would push one of me and my sisters, there were six of us. We would run down. We said, oh, man, they're coming. But why were we running? We were expecting something. You know why? Because every time she came, she brought us something. So we would run down and expect and see, oh man, let me see what she brought. And it was the funniest thing, because when she used to bring us things, she used to bring us things that she found in the street. She used to bring us a ball that had no air in it. She would bring us a glove of one color and the other of another color. But you know, it was like, we just looked at it like, maybe this time be something different. So we would still run down the stairs just to get that, you know. And that's the same we have to be with the Word. That's the same thing we have to be with the things of God. When God promises us something, if you desire to have, if you're looking for a check, every day go to the mailbox. My check is in the mail. My check is in the mail. How long? And God's ready. My check is in the mail. If you're expecting something, keep speaking it and go after it. If you want a car, go check. Now, don't go lay hands on everybody's car and say there's a car. No. But if there's a certain car that you have to know what you want. Be specific. Tell God. Write it down. And then when you see the car you want, even if you have to go to the dealers, none to do one day, go look at the car and the dealer and everything, just say, okay, this is my car. If you have to buy a little model, get the model, put it, and every day look at it and say, this is my car. Thank you, Lord, for my car. Don't pray for it again, just thank Him. Once you pray, just give Him thanks. Say, Lord, I thank You for my car. That's the way the things are of the kingdom. We have to speak them, we have to see them, and then we receive them. If we don't, we won't have it. That's why, you know, it says we have to have childlike faith. That's why kids are the way they are, little ones. You know, you tell them something, they run. You know, they're ready to get it. Us, we like, yeah, when? Mm-hmm, sure. Mm-hmm. But not then. They don't want to hear no, none. You know, they just run right after it. And that's the same way God wants us to be. He wants us to be like little children and go after what we want, not toiling by what we work, how hard we work. You're not going to be satisfied. You're only going to be satisfied when you go after the things that God has already ordained and prepared for you. When you go after the things that God has prepared and ordained for you, you'll be so satisfied. And when you keep searching and searching and looking and trying, because you're going and searching and looking in the wrong places for the wrong things. Because God already knows what He has already prepared for you. He already knows what you need. He knows what desire, what you really, really need. We think we know. But then we get it and then we put it aside. You know, oh, I want this. Then we get it and we just, after a while, and then after a while, what's next? So I says, faith is the word of God. God had to make a declaration. He spoke. That means when we speak, we are declaring. That's why now prayer, when we come to corporate prayer, and when we pray, the intercessors get together on Monday, we look at the prayer request, we go to God's word, and we go see what God's word has to say about it, and that's what we pray. Because before I used, you know, we pray the prayer of faith, the prayer of receiving, you know, asking. And that's all fine and well when you're a beginner. God, see, He helps us with everything we need. But then after that, He says, mature now. Pray My word. Because you know what? When we pray His word, we're not going to consume it for our own lust. We're going to receive because we're praying according to His will for us. We have to pray His word. And when God spoke, and He said, and He declared, let there be light, He was really saying, I allow light to be. He allowed. See, we allow. Just like Jesus allows what's to be on this earth, we allow. He allows in heaven, we allow down here. Jesus can't do anything down here. He's already done it. And He's already given it to us. Now He said, now you go in My name and you bring it to pass here on the earth. So we're the ones that have to make the change here on the earth. Jesus is not coming down to do the change. He says, you, I've given you that. He's not going to take that back. We have been given the authority and the power to change what is unlawful on this earth and to lose what is permitted. And that's in Matthew 18:18. And we're going to do that today too. We're going to lose things here on earth. Verse 18 says, verily I say unto you, whatsoever you shall bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. And whatsoever you shall loose on earth shall be loose in heaven. Again I say unto you, that if two of you shall agree on earth as touching anything that they shall ask, it shall be done for them of My Father which is in heaven. For where two or three are gathering together in My name, there I am in the midst. So you see, Jesus is right here in the midst because there's more than two or three. And now we have to do is, whatever it is, we touch and agree. But you know what? Touching and agreeing, I used to, When I used to read that before, I used to say, well, touch and agree, well, let me go, you know, go with this brother or this sister, and let's touch hands, and we're going to agree. But that's all good if we're both agreeing on the same thing according to God's word. That's why you just can't go and agree with anyone. When you're going to go in prayer, if you're going to agree, you let that person know, well, this is what I'm agreeing on. Are you in agreement? And if they say, I'm in agreement, sister, I'm all the way with you, we agree. But if they say, well, you know, don't agree, because it's not. You're better off praying by yourself. You're better off praying by yourself. So I tell you the truth, I'd rather pray with someone when I come to that prayer of agreement that's going to go according to God's word. But I also like to hear what that person is saying afterwards. Because if I agree, if you say you're going to agree and I read God's word and you say, okay, I agree. And 5 minutes later I hear you saying, well, I don't know. It doesn't look too good. And God is waiting for two. He'll move any mountain, every mountain, every circumstance, if two shall touch and agree on his word and stand on that word no matter what. No matter what. What they see or what's going on, as long as we stand on God's word and we come in agreement with that and we keep speaking that, it's going to happen. It's going to happen. Because that's what God's word says. We have to touch and agree. Proverbs 18:21 says, and we should know this, life and death are in the power of the tongue. We hear, you know, we hear that and we think, well, what does that mean, life and death and power? But that is so real. That is so true. Life and death is in the power of our tongue. They are evil forces ready to take what we say and bring it to pass. You know that? We don't see them. But they're in the air. They're in the airway right now. You know, they're evil forces right here, right now. And you know why they're here? They're trying to distract you from the word. Some of them, they'll make you tired. Some of them will give you things in your mind, thoughts in your head. Or like, oh, I heard this before. Oh, well, I don't have to do it our way. Those are all evil forces. And they're here to distract you. To get you from what God said to what he said. And that's what he did with Eve. When she, all she had to do was tell him, get away. No. But she entertained what he said. She entertained what he said. Don't entertain what the enemy says. Because if you do, you're going to say what he says. As soon as he gives you a thought, say, not here. As soon as he gives you a symptom, a sickness, not here. I said I'm healed. And if you haven't gotten the manifestation in the natural, and you've been believing, continue to believe, but speak. You have to speak. You have to speak. You know, sometimes we say, oh, well, I already prayed. You know, I already prayed that prayer. By his stripes, I'm healed. So now I'm not going to, you know. But every time the enemy comes in with a little, you let him know, I said, no, not here. We have to learn, church, that there's a battle going on. We don't wrestle against one another. We have a problem of wrestling with one another. You say something to me, so I'm going to say it back to you. We have that problem. Instead of telling, say, you know, if you said something to me and I don't like it, wait a minute, Brother Raymond. Devil, I know what you're trying to do. Get out of my face. That's my brother. Right, Sister John? Instead of doing that, no, we go one-on-one. Oh, no, I'm, you know, nobody's going to tell me. You know, I'm. And you don't realize that you're a fool because that's what the Bible says. We Read the Proverbs. Read the book of Proverbs. Jesus calls us fool. Now why you have to go and show somebody who you are that way? That's why he says to us as ladies, of a meek and quiet spirit. You know, if you walk in a meek and quiet spirit, you get everything you want. Everything you want. Walk in a meek and quiet spirit. And a lot of us, we think when we say walk in a meek and quiet, well, I'm not going to let nobody step over me. But they're stepping over you anyway. Why? Because you opened your mouth and gave them a piece of your mouth which you really can't afford to give. No. Don't let the enemy take you his way. Go God's way. Do it God's way. God's way never fails. It might take time. And it only takes time because of us. Not because of Jesus. He's already done it. So it's already there. He's already put it. He's already given it to us. He says, all in you already. But it's up to us to bring what he's already given us out. And the only way we're going to bring it out is by words. Sometimes we tell the Lord, Lord, when? He goes, when you're ready. When you speak. He says, I already done it. Now it's up to you. So it's up to us. Everything, I mean, isn't God good, church? Isn't he good to trust us? To trust us this way. With his divine power. To trust us with that power that we are able to bring forth. To speak things into existence. What a God we serve. What a God we serve. And if you want what God has for you, get his word. Speak his word. Declare his word. Speak it over your children, over your husband, over your wife, over your family. Every day. You know, we as parents, every day, we should bless our kids every day. I have a grandson. I have five grandsons. Five? Six. Five grandsons and two granddaughters, right? Six. Okay. And they all, you know, I have an Isaac. I have a David. Jacob. The conniver. But he's going to connive in a good way. But David, I always think of beloved. So every time David comes over and says, hi, Graham. He goes, gives me a kiss. I say, beloved. He goes, he looks at me, beloved of God. And I'm going to keep saying it. He's beloved of God. He's the beloved of God. You know, I'm going to keep saying it. Isaac, the same thing. I'm going to keep saying it. I will not say Hunter, my grandson Matthew, my granddaughter Jessica. I don't care what. They are children of the Lord. They were taught things of the Lord. And in Isaiah it says, and I love this scripture and I pray it every time for my children, my grandchildren. I even pray for your children. It's in school. And it says, and all thy children shall be taught of the Lord, and great shall be the peace of thy children. In righteousness shall they be established. They shall be far from oppression. For they shall not fear, and from terror, for it shall not come near them. No weapon that is formed against them shall prosper, and every tongue that shall rise against them in judgment, they shall condemn. For this is the heritage of the servant of the Lord, and their righteousness is of me, says the Lord. So they are righteous, because God says their righteousness is of me. They've been taught of the Lord. They should be their priest. I have one, the prodigal son. I say the same thing about him. I will not speak negative. I will not speak negative. If I want positive things to come forth. So I'm going to say what God's word. My children, I say my sons, they serve the Lord and they love the Lord with all their heart, soul, and mind. That's always been my prayer for my. Not that they love me. But that they love the Lord with all their heart and soul. Because when they love the Lord, they can't help but love me. And that's true, pure love. And that's what I want. I want them to love the Lord. Because The same way I know God and I see the goodness of God and I have tasted and see, I want them to the same way. And it's only going to come by when they love the Lord. It's not going to come by me hoping and wishing. I have to continue to declare what I want. So we have to continue to declare what we want. In 2 Corinthians 4:18 it says, I know what it says in my mind, but I don't want to quote it. I want to look at it and say exactly what it says. I'm going to go to verse 17 and then 18. For our light afflictions, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding eternal weight of glory. So, you know what? All the afflictions, things that we go through, they work for us for eternal glory. Because the glory of the Lord is going to shine so on us. That glory, you know what glory is? The peace, the love, the joy, the presence. That's the glory of the Lord. While we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. You know, we need to put that right in our refrigerator and every place, so that when circumstance situation comes, we look at that and say, I'm not looking at that, because that's going to change. That's going to change. So don't look at what's going on, unless it's good and it's pure and it's kind and it's gentle. Those are the things we're supposed to be speaking. Those are the things we're supposed to be looking at. What is good, what is gentle, what is kind. Those are the things. We have to be like Christ. Christ said, and we say all the time, before honor comes humility. And Jesus had to do it. He did it. He chose to humble himself. He said, the only thing that I know a man could do is to humble himself. And he humbled himself. And he went all the way to the cross for us. He was obedient to his Father. And he humbled himself. We need to humble ourselves one with another. You know, the Bible says, don't think more highly than you ought. Doesn't mean don't think high of yourself. Do think high of yourself. Because if you don't, then you're going to walk down, depressed and oppressed. But don't think yourself more highly than anyone. But think of yourself highly. Because when we think of ourselves highly, then we will go out and do what God called us to do. When we walk around not knowing who we are, depressed, oppressed and that, condemned, don't be condemned. Things that were spoken, let them go. Let them continue. Speak what God says. Take what God says. He says, you are fearfully and wonderfully made. And great are the plans that he has for us. So receive what God has spoken. He's the one that's going to work through us and in us to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we can ask, say, or think. You know, when I was young, I'm almost finished. I want to leave you out here by 12:30 or before. When I was young, I was premature. I weighed 2.5 pounds. And my time when I was born, they said I wouldn't make it because at that time they weren't so advanced as they are now, you know, the doctors and that. So, the doctor told my mom and dad, when they took me out of the hospital, you know, they were going to buy me clothes. They said, Don't buy her. Don't get her clothes. Don't go buy her stuff because she's not gonna live. So don't waste it. Don't waste buying her stuff because she's not gonna. My dad. I don't want to say. I don't like to say we're favorites, but when I was unsaved, I'm gonna take what he said. I was his favorite. So when the doctor said not to buy me stuff and I wasn't going to make it, my father said, oh, no. And he didn't know the Lord. He said, oh, no, that's my daughter. And he took me home. And every week, I don't know for how long, I would get sick. I used to get the whooping cough every week. They would have to rush me back to the doctors and they would keep me there. And they would say, she's not going to. And my father said, oh, no. And I thank God because he has the plans for us. He has the plans for us. And I believe because there was a nurse in the church, because my mother, well, she had like six, we have like six other kids. She really didn't want another child at that time. Not that she didn't want me, it just happened. And, you know. But she said, the nurse said, well, she's not going to make it, but you know what? I have gotten used to her coming every, so I'll take her. But my dad said, uh-uh. After that, as I was growing up, I had a grandma. You know, sometimes we say things and we got to watch what we say. Church, if anything, please watch what you say. Because those things become so rooted in you that they could cripple you. I'm going to read you something in devotions. That's what I'm going to share. I wasn't going to share, but I'm going to share it. And I don't know, you're Spanish, right? Brother Raymond's Spanish. Got a couple of Puerto Ricans here, like me. She used to say, oh, you're like the little bird always, talking. So you're like a dummy. She would say the word momia. Am I right, sister? Is that considered? She would say, oh, you're nothing but a little momia, you know. In Spanish, you know, if you're not Spanish, you don't know what that is. You say, ah. But it meant you're a dummy. And that stood with me. That bothered me. But I never shared that with no one. Never said anything. I had to deal with that. When I came to the Lord, I was crying out to him out of depression. And when no one had told me about salvation, you know, when you're hurting and things are going on, all you have to do is just call on him. Call on him. And that's what I did. And I just said, Lord, I can't no more. And when I tell you that the presence of God came on me and gave me a peace that passes all understanding. I couldn't explain it to no one. But when that happened to me, I didn't care what anybody said, anybody looked at me, nothing. It just didn't move me. And do you know that used to upset some other Christian people because they thought that I was going through a thing, you know, or she'll get out of it. Because I couldn't explain it, but it was just a peace. Because they feel you don't care about nothing. But it wasn't that. I just couldn't be moving. I just couldn't. And that's the same peace he has for each and every one of us if we want it. But it's there, you know. And I'm saying all this because, see, I could have allowed that to continue in my life. And every time something came up, I could have turned around to that and I could have said, oh, well, you know, I'm no good. I'm a dummy. But no. When God gave me his word, when God gives you a word, take that word and don't worry about anybody else, how anybody cares, what anybody's going to say. People always have things to say. And do what God called you to do. And when he said to me, and he said to me, my voice, but I used to have dreams sometimes, and I used to find myself fighting. Sometimes I'd be screaming in the night, you know, I'd be fighting with different spirits, but I didn't understand. And then a couple of times we have, I know a lot of people could testify that's been in the church, and I've been in the church since the beginning. Every time we had a guest speaker with a prophetic or gifting, or, I didn't say, they would come over and say, intercessor. I used to, what's an intercessor? But first of all, pastor acknowledged that person on me. And he said, stand before for intercessor. And I said to myself, what is an intercessor? You know, and I read Hebrews, and it tells you about the high priest and the intercessor. You know, because when God gives us a word, we want him to give everything, every detail, every, you know, and he's not going to do it. You know why? Because he wants you to have confidence and trust in who he is, that he's the one doing it in you, that it's not you. So if I would have came out and said, well, this is the way, this is that, he would give it, I would have ran with it and try and do everything my way. But till today, I'm learning, because he's teaching me, he's taking me. And that's the way it is with every gift that he gives us. So when we turn around and we say, you know, I could have said, well, that's not me. He first has to take me by the hand and teach me. I will still be sitting there. But I said, okay, whatever you call me to do, Lord, I'm going to do. So I surrender, and I've been in that intercessory where he put me since day one. And I'm still learning, church. I'm still learning. So when he gives you a gift or he speaks something to you, go forward in it. I'm not telling you run with it. Take the steps. Because it's him that's doing the work in and through us. It's not ourselves. And if I would have taken that word that was spoken way back, I would have been still sitting there, feeling sorry for myself, making excuses why I don't do. This is God. I'm up here because of God, not because of myself. Because I could turn around and say, well, you know what? I'm a dummy. I really don't know how to read right. I don't know how to speak the language the right way. You know, I don't know. But God is waiting for a humble person to humble themselves. To know that it's not of you, but it's of me doing the work in and through you when you surrender to do my work. And that's what he wants us to do, to surrender to do his work. I had read this and it really touched me. That's why I'm sharing. I wasn't going to share what I was sharing, but I believe God, there's some people here that have wounds before, rooted things that were spoken and said to you. And maybe you haven't said it to anyone and you're hurting inside and you're not saying anything. But I want you to know that God doesn't see that. God sees you the way he sees his son, Jesus. Behold, all things are passed away, and behold, all things have come new to you. You are a new creation. So look at yourself as something precious, as God sees you. And this is what I read. This is, you know, I'm like I said, I want us to take heed to what we say. We are here to speak life to people, to situation, to circumstance. We are here to see as God sees. Not to see with these natural eyes, but to see as God sees. Because when we see things the way God sees them, then we could be used. Then we could touch this world, this lost and dying world. But until if we don't see the way God sees, we're not going to be able to touch this world. Because we're going to only touch the ones we want to touch and how we want to do it. We're not going to see them with the same eyes as Christ sees them, hurting, rude, bruised. We're not going to see them that way. We're going to see them a drug addict, a prostitute. We're not going to see their root things that brought them to that place. We're not going to see that. And we have to go forth with the heart of God and see them the way God sees them, that they're lost and they need a Savior. And they need a love. Love maybe they never had from their mother. Love that they never had from their father. Encouraging word that they never got. It says the right words at the right time. This is from a daily devotional. To honor her students, a teacher gave each a ribbon that stated, "Who I am." Who I am makes a difference. And asked them to pass it along to someone who made a difference in their lives. Remember, Pastor had us do that once. He had asked us to, we would get cards and send them out to people that has touched our lives, have been an encouragement to us in the church, and comforting. You know, thank you. Thanking them for things that they have said and done. One kid gave, who made a difference in their lives. One kid gave his to a young executive who helped him plan his career. He in turn gave it to his boss, who was hard to get along with. Now he gave it to somebody that was hard to get along with. That's why I said, bless those that curse you. He told him how much he's been influenced by his creativity and asked him to give the ribbon to someone he admired that might be the boss. The boss told his 14-year-old son, I thought about who I want to honor. The father said, I thought about who I want to honor. And it's you. My days are hectic. And I'm always complaining about your grades and your messy room. Tonight, I want to let you know the difference you have made in my life. Besides your mother, you are the most important person I know. I love you. Fighting back tears, the boy replied, early today, I wrote a letter explaining why I have taken my life and asking you to forgive me. I was going to do it when everybody was asleep. I didn't think you care. I guess I won't need that letter now. Upstairs in his son's room, the father found the anguish-filled note besides a loaded gun. God can help you to speak a word in season to him who is weary. Words change lives. What you say can mean life or death. So go out of your way today to speak words of encouragement to someone you don't normally think about. A word spoken at the right moment, how good it is. These parents could have thought that everything is fine with his son. Everything's going good. And because of words, this son was ready to commit suicide. That's why I said we don't know what's going on with our children, with ourselves, husbands, wives. You don't know what's going on with your husband, how they've been at work. Husbands, you don't know what's going on with your wife. She's had a busy day. We don't know what's been going on with our children. Words that have been said in school, or, you know. And now they come home, and now we're fighting one with another. Speaking evil things, the wrong things. Be careful. Be careful. That's why God says, be slow to speak and quick to hear. Hear what the Spirit is saying. When you're home, mothers, when you're home, and you know your children, you should be before the Lord, asking the Lord, God, show me if anything happened to my son or my daughter today in school that they don't want to talk about. Maybe they're being bullied and they don't want to come home and tell you. Because you know, God will show us everything. You know, and he lets us see and lets us know when there's something wrong with us. If we have children and we can't tell when something is wrong with us. If we can't see, if I can't tell when something's wrong with my son or my daughter, something is definitely wrong with me. because I should be able to discern what's going on. The same thing with a husband, the same thing with a wife. Let us not take one another for granted and think everything is fine, everything is going good. You know, sometimes we think everything's good because we give them everything, but it's not. What they want is you. What they want is a touch from you. Sometimes they just want a hug, a kind word. And the minute they walk in, sometimes we don't, you know, sometimes they even come to us, you know, and, you know, they come to, you know, you could have one that's very aggressive, so he always wants to come over, and, you know, and you're like, come on, come on, come on. No, don't do that. That child needs that. That's why he's like that. He needs that. You know. So we have to be sensitive. We have to be at a place to discern. You know, when our kids are speaking to us, don't talk over them and say, we don't want to hear it. You know, when they come out with something and we already, well, I don't want to hear it. I heard it before. No. And don't, you know, don't do it that way either. Don't say, well, I don't want to hear it. Don't do it that way. You know what, right now is not the right time. How about we go later and talk together? Let's speak about it. Same thing with your sons. They do something wrong, they walk in the door, don't yell and scream and say, ah, you know, put on your shoes or go get your shoes. No, don't do that. Because we don't realize how the enemy uses those things, how he uses us. You know, like I said before, we are the ones that change what's going on in our. That's why I say, if you give love, you receive love. So if you're not getting love, watch. Watch your love life. Watch your love language. So what you get, what you give, is what you get back. So watch what you give. So right now, I just want to declare God's word, Father. Lord, I just thank you for this time that you have given us together, Lord. And Father, I know that your word shall not return void, but it would accomplish those things, oh God, that have already been spoken according to your will and your purpose, oh God. So Father, right now I speak, oh God, and I declare a blessing to each and every household this morning. And Lord, I say, my home is a place of refuge and peace. I believe that everyone who comes into our home will feel the presence of God. I choose to honor you in my home. I dedicate my home to you, Lord. I consecrate it with prayer and praise. I am diligent and committed to moderate and elevate the kinds of books, videos, music, movies that are allowed to be played in my home. In my home are riches and honor. My God supplies all our needs in our family. I will work diligently to keep my home clean and beautiful so that it is a consistent blessing to all my family. I believe my home is a safe haven, protected and kept safe by God's divine protection. I believe no evil shall come near my home and my family. No plague, disease, or calamity shall fall before us. I believe my home is blessed and all who enter it are blessed. My home is consecrated and dedicated to God. I will not allow activities in my home that are not honorable to God. With the Holy Spirit help, I will create and maintain an environment of love, hope, peace in my home. I believe everyone who comes to my home will sense His presence. So Father, right now I release a blessing on your people this morning. Lord, for every husband, oh God, I declare your word that says, husband, love your wife as Christ loved the church, that he gave himself for it. So, Father, I thank you for your love, oh God, flowing through each and every head of home, every husband. Your love, oh God, that unconditional love, that they will know how to love their wives as Christ loved the church. That every wife, I declare, every wife is submitted unto her husband, as unto the Lord. Because Lord, as she submits, she's submitting to you. And because she takes her rightful position of submission, you will honor, you will exalt her, you will bring her high, oh God. And you continually give her the strength that she needs to be that wife and that mother to her children. Father, I declare your word right now, O God, concerning our children, that they are taught of the Lord, and great is their peace. Lord, in righteousness they are established, and no weapon that is formed against them will prosper. And every tongue that shall rise against them, I will condemn. And they will condemn with their own mouth, because they will not receive any evil word from anyone. In the name of Jesus. So, Father, right now, in the name of Jesus, we speak to the airways right now. And we say that it's not by might, nor by power, but by the Spirit of the living God, that no weapon that is formed against God's people will prosper. And every tongue that rises up against us, we will condemn with a spirit of boldness and confidence in who we are. In Jesus' name, be blessed and be a blessing. Amen.